you just think about this for a minute now. If there may be a day when you get to pass that forward, and that's the price. I know you offered to pay and all, and I'm just not interested in that. But I am interested in you paying it forward. That's what it's all about, and that's what keeps this fellowship what it is. It's not about, for me, it's not about the radio. It's the fellowship that comes with it, because you get so many different kind of people that are professional and polite and just want to have a leisurely conversation about whatever. And that is very refreshing, especially with what's going on in the world today. And it's a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And as long as we, you know, just try to have fun with it and help each other the best we can, that can't be a bad thing, you know. Back to you, Kurt.
I copy on all that. You count on it. Put it in ink. I really look forward to the day that I can pass that on to somebody. And I will also be passing your name along to that lucky somebody, whoever that is, out in the future. So I appreciate you having me out to your lovely home, your beautiful property. It's definitely a piece of heaven out there. And if God were to bless somebody with that, I'm very happy that He would bless you and Anna with it. So, also, I got a slight sensation that you may have some interest in World War II and the European theater. I could be totally wrong with all that, but I kind of got that gut feeling. So I applaud you for that. I didn't get a chance to count the stars in the field of that American flag you have framed. Not sure if there were 50 stars in that flag or not, but it sure looked beat up. Also get the feeling that maybe it was seems to see a little stress and strain in its lifetime. The other thing is goes out to Mr. I believe Larry and Donna, they mentioned. It's concerning a fine gentleman who has crossed the veil, passed over into the other side. It's much to my liability that I never got to meet. Mr. Ray Allison, or Roy Allison, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey there, Kurt, and that's, I wish I could have, you know. Every now and then you get to meet those men of character that mean something. I unfortunately did not get the opportunity to meet him. And just so you know, yes, I do love World War II history. I don't know, there's something interesting about it. And years ago, me and my wife started a bucket list. And before we leave this place, we want to be able to go to the European countries and visit, you know, the war memorials and the museums and things like that. So so far we've been to Britain and got to see Bletchley Park, where the Enigma machine was cracked, code was cracked, and got to see Stonehenge. And spent some time at the Royal Air Force Base there in Canterbury, I think. And we've been to Dachau in Germany, and that was quite a heavy experience to go to a concentration camp. Very, very humbling to be and see that. I never experienced an emotion like that before. So this trip is the beaches of Normandy, and being a fellow soldier, you know, I want to see, you know, the layout of that and see the museums and the memorials and things like that. answer your question, just so you know, that the flag that is inside my shop that is framed is very badly burned. It's very damaged. I can't see most of the stars. That was the first flag that we flew over our headquarters in Iraq. And you're right, it has been severely beat up and badly burned. So I'll leave that right there. But it is what it is. And Kurt, appreciate you checking in with us. And have you got anything else for us, bud, before we move on to Mr. Gary?
One more thing, I'll try to keep really quick and brief. I'm a newbie here, so I like to listen to the elders, the tribal elders do the talking around this council fire here. Again, I just think it was really special that made mention of a departed amateur radio legend. Yeah, I think that's really great. Every time I turn on the knob of my radio, I just meet super people that have been out there all along, and but for this hobby, in all probability, I would never encounter. And I think it's a very special thing that is very worthwhile, valuable thing, a precious thing that is. You had somebody that meant something to you or had an impact on you in this journey here. You know, I think it's a good thing that you should make mention of. It don't matter if it's last week, last year, 25, 30, 40 years ago. It don't matter. Somebody meant something to you. Somebody had an impact on you. And they're no longer here to talk and speak for themselves. Good. I think it's a great thing. Say their name. Say their handle. Tell us what they meant to you. And if there's not another soul out there that'll listen to you, I'll listen to you. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to get off the stump. To 73. And Chad, you can expect a cell phone call from me.
The comments, sir, and you know, one thing I want to say before I let you go and get Mr. Gary up on the stump is that you are exactly right that the generation that is teaching now, the elders, as you call them, in this hobby, you know, I would just like to say from being someone who is learning that if you are an elder or an older ham who has a lot of experience, you know, well, I see that as an opportunity for that generation to pass along to the next generation what is correct and what is professional and the way it is supposed to be. Without that input, you know, things can not be so great of a hobby. So with that, I'll say that there's a lot of other Ray Allisons out there, and there's a lot of them on this net. And I just would like to take an opportunity as someone who is learning. But thank you for teaching us, the next generation, because like it or not, that's what it is. We are the next generation, and you have an opportunity to pour into us and to teach us what is right, because you're not going to get that out of a book. You're just not going to get it. So just want to say, hey, appreciate you, Kurt. Appreciate the elders, as you would say, passing along their knowledge and wisdom. And that's something that I don't take lightly. So with that said, Gary, I'm going to have to move on. I mean, Kurt, appreciate you checking in. I'm going to move on to Mr. Gary, but Gary, if you'll hold on just 1 second, let me take any more check-ins, Alpha through Zulu. Please call KO4NUE or net control.
Whiskey 4, Hotel India, W4HI, Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, Seneca.
Hi, Mr. Bruce in Seneca. Will you be in and out for comments tonight, sir?
Thank you.
I appreciate you checking in with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I think it's the first time I've got you on my log, so appreciate you checking in with us. Come on back anytime, every night at 9 o'clock. So, with that said, all right, KI4DOS, Mr. Gary, you up on next. Go ahead.
And you in the net, KI4DOS. Well, good evening, Mr. Chad and Miss Anna. We had an eventful day today. got a notice in the mail to report for jury duty. That's always going to be fun. So I'm tied up with that all week, so we'll see how that progresses. Other than that, I got back home today and had a couple of phone calls and people wanting some radio equipment that's on the swap net, so it's starting to dwindle down a little bit, which is a good thing for Miss Teresa and Mr. AK. That's his stuff. But other than that, we had a good day when we got home. Just didn't do a whole lot more after I did my thing over to the courthouse. Decided I think I'd come home and rest a little bit. Picked up a book and started reading it. Next thing I knew, I looked up and I couldn't remember what paragraph I was on. So I read the same page three times before I got it in my head that, okay, I've already read this part. But it was a good day. You were talking about Brother Ray Allison, K4SUG. He was like a brother to me, and one of his favorite sayings, Chad, was when you get your license, it's a license to operate, but it's also a license to learn.
I'm telling you, he hit the nail on the head, because, you know, just let me share a quick story with you. So, being in the military, I was in a communication unit on both deployments, and we did, you know, heavy stuff, no HF, no light stuff, but did that for close to 20 years. So when I went and got my technician license and passed the test, I thought, okay, hey, I got this, you know. I know everything there is to know about a radio because I was in the communication unit. So I came home and it took me 4 days, 4 days to get it programmed before I could even get on the repeater. So I did not put a drop in it. And, the offset, and I could not understand. I mean, I couldn't understand what was going on, and I'm thinking, I have spent all this time studying for this doggone test, and there's nobody out here. Nobody. So, oh, man. Yeah, he is exactly right, and it has been a flurry of learning from that day. And, boy, I'm telling you, he could not have said it better. Getting your license is a license to operate, but it is an opportunity to continue to learn. That's dead on, Gary. I wish I could have met the man.
If you ever get over this way to my house, I've got several pictures of him. Around here. I look at them often. You were talking a little bit about Silent Keys and some of the folks that have passed. You know, there's a lot that went on before me. Andy can probably tell you more about some of the older ones than I can. Andy's been listening to it for a long, long time. But I actually met some of the folks that Andy knows about and listened to for years. Super, super fine folks. Really were. And help you out any way they could. My father-in-law was a ham. And I don't remember how many years he had been a ham when I got my license. He tried to get me to get my license when I got out of the military back in 1974. And I told him, I said, I'm tired of working on radios. I don't want nothing to do with that right now. And he said, okay. And every once in a while, he'd call me, and he said, what are you doing this evening? I said, well, I just got home or whatnot. And he says, can you come over here for a few minutes? I said, yeah. I go over there, and he'd say, I messed my radio up again. Can you realign it for me? He had all the test equipment and everything. But bless his heart, I couldn't get him to keep his fingers out of his radios. And he had some of the older stuff, so it wasn't any problem with what I had been doing in the military. It wasn't any problem for me to take care of when I got over there to his house. But I told him, I said, Daddy, please leave your fingers out of the machines. And he'd just laugh, and he says, if I mess it up again, I'll just call you.
That's funny. So I've got up at the deer camp, I've got a Tintec Omni up there. I'm not what year it is. 70s, 80s, maybe a little sooner, a little earlier than that, I'm not sure. But it still works. And I've got it set up there with a dipole that I made. And it absolutely blows my mind because there's no menus on it. You turn a switch, and it's got about 15 switches on it. And I have yet to figure out what they do. You know, I mean, I'll turn them just to see what kind of reaction I get with the radio. But if it doesn't have a menu on it, I struggle. I really struggle. And to hear you talk with, you know, Ray's generation or your dad's generation, it's the opposite way that, you know, it's just difficult for that generation to run anything with menus on it and menu trees. So I just think that's hilarious, you know, that we're complaining about the same thing two or three generations apart. That's pretty neat. But as far as your dad goes, hey, my dad's the same way. He's not into radios, but he is into something all the time. I mean, all the time. And, you know, I fuss at him sometimes when I shouldn't. And he just gives me this little grin like, I don't know why you're complaining, because if I tear it up again, you're gonna be right back down here. So you might as well just quit complaining about it. KO4NUE and KI4DOS.
Let's check you.
Let me have you call, sir.
Boy, LZI, Andy, Table Rock, no traffic, and there's a picture that KK4JBQ has of Ray Allison and a few other hams in the Briars Club that's from back in the early 80s. He's got that I give to him at the time, because I thought at the time the Briars Club had a historian, and at the time he was the vice president, and I give him a picture of that was taken back in the early 80s of him and a few others. You ought to take and get Larry at some point to show you that picture of Ray from back in the early 80s, and I'll be here for you, KI4LZI.
Net would like to recognize KI4LZI. That's Mr. Andy up in Table Rock. And if Kurt, if you're still listening, this is one of those guys, so, you know, just gonna let you know. So, anyway, Andy, I got you down for comments, but let me get on back to Mr. Gary. Let me see what else he's got, and we'll move on to KI4DTY when Gary's done. So go ahead, Gary.
UE and Annette, KI4DOS. Just tell you this last little bit. You were talking about the older radios and not having any menus. The club had some older radios, and we went out field day, and I had taken all the radios over to the house and checked them all out, make sure they were all working and in good shape. We got set up field day and had some newer hams, you know, that were more accustomed to the menu radios, and they came over and they said, we need another radio over here, so this one's not working. I said, are you sure? I just checked it out, you know, and they said, yeah, we're sure it's not working. It's not, you know, we put a watt meter on it, you know, a meter, SWR meter, watt meter bridge, and it ain't putting out. I walked over there and looked at it. I didn't touch anything, and I said, well, I said, the radio looks to me to be fine. I said, you've got to turn on the final output amplifier before it'll work. They said, what do you mean? I said, you see that switch marked heater? They said, yeah. I said, flip that on. They turned that on, and all of a sudden it was working.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So, I got a little red button with a circle and a line through it that says power. When I hit that button, I need things to happen. I turning on heaters to warm this up, and, you know, Walt was telling me the other day, hey, you know, you got to bring things up on a variac and, you know, slowly bring the voltage up. And, you know, I mean, I respect that. I'm not making fun of it at all. I'm just saying that, you know, hey, that's a little hard for me, you know. I just want to hit a button and it do what I tell it to do. And that seems to work pretty good for me. But I learned something tonight. I didn't know radios had heaters on them. I'm assuming it's a heater for the tubes or something like that. But, I don't know if I could work through that or not. That'd be hard for me. KO4NUE and KI4DOS.
It's actually turning on the power amplifier stage, and you've got to turn it on, and so it'll have output. It's got the drivers are already there. They come on when you turn the radios on. But that's some of the older stuff. As far as variacs go, you can use variacs. They're very useful tools. They're good as for what they do. But a fella told me a long time ago. He said, plug it up, turn it on, and if you let some of the magic smoke, the RF smoke out, then you go back and you find out which components are burned up, then you replace those, and then it'll work. So, it's any way you look at it there, Chad, all kinds of different philosophies as far as working on stuff and turning things on. I'll turn it back over to you and let you carry on with it. I know you got a couple more out there waiting. Didn't mean to hold it up this long, but you and Anna have a good evening, what's left of it. Y'all have a safe trip, and I hope your mother enjoys the stuff you got for her and when you get back from your trip.
I appreciate that, Gary. I do. But one little quickie before you go. So the other day I had to make a modification to this Yaesu, and I had to make a solder connection inside the radio. So I went in the closet and got my soldering iron out and got, you know, was heating it up. And laid the radio on the table and started taking it apart. So I hear some pitter-patter feet coming through the house, and here comes my wife, and I've got this $1,200 radio tore apart in pieces. I mean, it's in pieces. And I got the soldering iron and getting ready to go in and make the solder connection I needed to make on the radio. And I get this, hands on the hips, looking over me going, "What are you doing? That is a perfectly good radio. What are you doing to it?" I just told her, "Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing." That didn't go over too good, but I did do it. I mean, it works. I lost all my configurations. I must have touched something I wasn't supposed to touch, but you know, I panicked there for a minute and turned the radio on, and, you know, nothing was configured the way I had it configured, and I thought, oh, no, I'm going to have to go in there and tell her that, you know, hey, well, we need another $1,200 radio, and I just trying to get that in my mind before I told her, but I got it straightened out. It took me a little bit, but I did get panic mode there for a minute. So, with that, Gary, I'll let you go unless you got anything else. And if you do, that's fine. Come on.
That's that trade to you for now, Chad. Keep that magic smoke inside the radio. That way you don't have to worry about it. You and Anna have a good evening. We'll talk to you later. KI4DOS clear. Back to net.
Okay, Gary, I enjoyed the conversation, bud. All right, Daniel, if you're still in there, hang on, let me do one more call. Any stations, Alpha through Zulu. This is a Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Please call KO4NUE.
Okay. Again, KB0, KBJ, Steve, Mobile, in the boonies. No traffic, I'll be here for a comment.
KBJ, I think I talked with you today, sir, but I did not get your name.
Name is Steve. Over.
That would like to recognize KB0 KBJ, Mr. Steve, and he is currently mobiling around in the boonies. So appreciate you checking in with us, Steve. All right, KI4DTY, Mr. Daniel, you still in there?
Here. How's it going?
Good, Daniel. What you got on your mind tonight?
I don't have anything. I was just hanging around to listen and hear what you guys had to say and what y'all were talking about. I guess just creeping in the background. So I didn't really need anything. I had a couple questions for you, but I don't know if, you know, now's the time. So, but yeah, sounds like everybody's been having an eventful day.
At the stump, if you want to ask a question, you go right ahead. And if we can't answer it, then we'll send it out to the net and see if somebody else can. So go ahead.
Well, I actually got a side thing to say that I'm not sure who would be over this, but you were talking about after you took your general test, how you were trying to get on and you were struggling to actually queue up and all that in the same area for me. And I kind of wish that after you take the test and you actually pass, that they would almost assign somebody and say, "Hey, do you need help?" and try to assign somebody to actually help you, you know?
I'll do it like this. So I got a letter from the FCC today that said when KI4DTY upgrades his license, KO4NUE has been assigned as his mentor. So you let me know when you are ready, and I'll come and help you learn what I can teach you. Anything over that, we'll find somebody that can teach you. But if you're looking for somebody to help, then just consider the FCC said I needed to do it, and that's what we'll do. So that's resolved. What's the next question?
So that actually leads me to my next question anyways. I meant, like, when you actually go to take the initial test, you know, I almost feel like, you know, you need somebody there to say, hey, okay, this is how you get on the radio. Here's, you know, the next steps. Do you need help? You know, and that's kind of what I was talking about. But, yeah, I'll definitely take any help I can get. So my next question for you was, you know, you just took your next test here. And I was wondering what was the best way you found for studying to actually get ready to take that test?
Question. So the way I'll answer that is, if you go to, let's see. I've got a book here. Let's see, the name of it is Pass Your Amateur Radio test, and all the theory is in there, but the questions are in there too, so you can review the questions. But what I do is read the book and mark the questions that I am struggling with, and focus on the theory for the questions that I'm struggling with, and just generally familiarize yourself with the general questions. Then if you go to QRZ.com and click on resources, you can actually take an actual test. It's a free resource. I mean, it's free. And you can take the test as many times as you want. There is a pool of, for the general, don't quote me on this, but I think it's 500 questions. So if you want to cycle through all 500 questions, you go right ahead. I guess you could do it that way. But it's helpful to, you have an option to download the exam, or you have an option to download by section what each section in the exam is. And if you come across a question that you don't understand the answer to, you can go to the handbook, the study book, and it'll tell you where that question is on what page as far as the theory goes, or why that answer is what it is. And then you go to that paragraph and you read about that, and you say, okay, well, now I understand why we have to operate on that frequency. I guess you could memorize the questions. I don't think that's going to be too beneficial. I guess you could do that. And then the other answer to that is exactly what I did, was you get the book and start underlining the portions that you don't understand, and you do a peek and poll, which is what I call a peek and poll, is you get on the net, get over the mic fright, and ask the question. Because if you don't know how it works or understand why it is that way, you've got two options. The first option is try to learn it on your own and spend 20 years trying to do that. Or you can ask the men and women who know, and they'll tell you in a way that will get you to understand what you're struggling with. And trust me, they'll break it down in a way that is simplified for you to understand. And that is, in my opinion, that is the way to do it. Now, there's other ways to do that, but that's the best way that I've learned, and it worked for me. KO4NUE KI4DTY. Go ahead, Daniel.
You know, that's been my dilemma. I've been wanting to take the general test and go ahead and get it. I know that this is the last year, and next year all those questions or the test will change. So I was trying to study for it, and I guess I was feeling inundated by all the information. How long did it really take you to study for that and then take the test?
class, I started studying when Walt started the training classes. So when I bought the radio, the AZ that I've got, 991, it was much more than what I needed, especially as a technician. But I knew that I would grow into it, and I did not want to buy, you know, five different radios. So we made the decision to buy the radio we did, and just pay up front for it, with the understanding that I could grow into it. And I mean, I'll be straight up with you and tell you, when I got my technician license and started, you know, talking on the repeater and learning how to, you know, do offsets and put the PO tones in, I just didn't tell my wife this, but I remember thinking, oh man, I spent so much money when I could have bought a 2-meter radio for about $75 and could have done the same thing. But as I became more comfortable with being able to operate just on the 2-meter and 70 centimeter side and got comfortable with that, then that's when I realized, okay, well, I'm glad that we did what we did, because now I can start utilizing some of these other functions on the radio. So with that, I will say this. Let me let this thing drop for a second. So on my radio, for example, there are all these buttons, and some of these buttons do two or three things. If you press it once, it does this. If you press and hold, it does that. And there's a whole bunch of menus that come with those little bitty buttons. One thing I'll tell you is, don't be intimidated by that, because when you get to a point that you are wanting to try to do something different with the radio, that is when those functions will present themselves. So in other words, when you see a button or a menu function on the radio and you don't understand what it is, if it doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing at that time, don't worry about it. You don't need to know what that is right now. But as your experience changes and you start to want to expand and do different things, that's when you're going to go, okay, I was wondering what that button did. Now I know what it does. So there's two parts to that, in that you don't worry about the buttons. You don't know what they do as of yet. There may be some in there that can help you where you are right now. But as you get ready to move and grow and do different things, those menus will present themselves to you. And believe it or not, the reason I'm telling you this is that some of those menu functions also are going to coincide with what's on that test. So just keep that in mind, you know. So KL4NUE and KI4DTY. Daniel, did that answer your question, bud?
Yeah, it does answer my question some. I guess, you know, when I took the tech test, obviously, you know, some of it made sense, some of it did not. I concentrated more on learning the right answer, just to answer the test and pass it. And honestly, it wasn't until I actually got the radio and was able to play around that a lot of those answers started making sense. And so that's why I was asking, you know, as I'm trying to prep for the general, if that theory still holds true. I know you're saying that you concentrated on learning that information first, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. I just was asking and wanting to know what was the best way to do it. Is it still better to just learn the information first and then try to take the test? Because that could take some time, especially since, you know, I just have lower-end radios right now. Or should I concentrate more on trying to memorize the correct answers, if that's even a possibility? I don't know. And then, you know, after pass the general and actually get a radio that I can, you know, figure that stuff out. I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out, what's the best method.
I'm going to answer that. Learn it now or learn it later. Either way, you're going to learn it. So, and that's the way it was for me, was that, you know, some of those questions, the training that I got on Tuesday night, that helped me a lot, a majority of the questions, truthfully. But there were some in there that, you know, we never discussed during training night. And I would say 10% of them, the ones that I didn't know absolutely anything about, still don't know what they mean. I just memorized that answer. But the ones that I was close to understanding or I understood, it all started to click. And look at it this way. So instead of looking at the exam as a chore, look at it as a process that you can enjoy as you learn. So one thing that I would say was don't pin yourself down too soon. Just start trying to answer the questions that you don't know what that means. And if you see something on a test question or you see something in a book that you don't understand and the book is not giving you the answer, then I can tell you right now, Tuesday night is the place to go. Because there's guys out there that they're going to break that down Barney style for you. And they're going to let you know in a positive way, this is why it's this way, and this is why we do it this way, and this is why that frequency's that, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you just mark that off in your book. But just to be completely honest with you, there's going to be a percentage of them in there that, you know, it may be best just to memorize those. But I think you're going to be better off if you get some of the concept and the theory down. And I'll give you a good example. Let me let this drop. I know I don't need to, but stand by. The general exam, there were questions for one of the questions that I struggled with. Why in the world do I need to know how to determine the length of an antenna? You got all this formula that you got to divide the frequency by this length and this number, and where does this number come from, and why is that important, and da-da-da, da-da-da. Okay, well, it might not be important to know what the speed of light is in a vacuum chamber. And that's one of those questions where I just thought, oh, man, I don't understand why I need to know this. Well, when I got my license and passed the test and got to the HF side and thought, okay, well, now what do I do? You know, I got this little rinky-dink antenna out there, and, you know, they're wanting $250 for this antenna. Let me go back to that little funky little formula they had in the book. Let me revisit that for a minute. And that sparked everything. I revisited that little number, didn't understand it, and I brought it to Walt and Larry and Andy and Gary and a couple other guys out there, and they said, okay, this is how it works, and this is why it's important. But that was not important to me until I got to that point. So the questions you don't know, don't be afraid to ask the questions. Nobody is going to say anything derogatory with you learning. They're just not going to do it. I don't think that's possible in this area on the radio. KL4 DTY, KL4 NUE.
Okay, well, that definitely helps. I guess I was feeling a little overwhelmed with trying to learn the general and trying to figure out the best way. And like I said, I knew that come January 1st, the test is supposed to change altogether next year. And so then I was like, do I really want to waste the time of trying to not waste, that's a poor word, but, you know, spend the time trying to learn the answers for this test just for it to change if I don't pass. And I guess that's what I was trying to figure out, what was the best way to really learn and get to know. I don't expect, and I'm not trying to set a goal of learning all of this right away. I know it's going to take me some time to even do that. I guess I was just looking for some, you know, information on the best ways to learn some of that information, and is it better just to memorize it and memorize the answer for the test and then kind of go from there learning it? Yeah, and I understand what you meant as far as I'm going to have to learn it either way. So that part I know. I guess I was just looking for what was the best way to get ready for the test. And knowing that you just took it not too long ago, I guess that's why I was looking for your expertise in that as well. And by the way, speed of light is 299 million meters a second. Just thought I'd let you know.
That's good. Hey, oh, man. Hey, man, I'll give you a holler tomorrow, and we'll catch up. So anything else you got, Mr. Daniel?
No, I'll leave you there, and I know you're getting ready to go off to the wonderful land of Paris with your dehydrated strawberries. So good luck smuggling that on the plane. And I hope you and Miss Anna have an absolutely amazing trip. That I hope you have just a wonderful time and enjoy your new socks and underwear and pants. So I'll leave it at that. But I did want to say about you taking your 991 apart. I'll end with this. Like I told you before, you know, we do photography and video and stuff. Well, we had this flash, well, you know, we have a couple of different high-end flashes, and this flash is like $600-$700. And so we were having problems with this flash, and so I took it apart. And if you know anything about flashes, they have capacitors in them with the double A's and all that. And so, which I knew that. And so I took this flash apart. I made sure I cycled through it to drain the capacitor and all that. And so I took this flash apart, and, you know, I got to my soldering iron. Well, actually, I had my tester ready so I could figure out why this stupid flash was not working. So I had my meter going, and I'm trying to test this thing. Well, my hand hit this flash, hit the little capacitor, and I tell you what, I have worked on electricity, and I have been electrocuted with, you know, electrical items. I have never been in so much pain as I have been when this stupid little tiny flash shocked the snot out of me, and it... I jumped up, and my brother about peed in his pants from laughing. And let me lay the cycle. I was like, oh my gosh, that literally burnt the fire out of me. And so anyways, I thought, you know, here, you know, I just drained it, so, you know, we're good. So I go, and I touch that thing again with the meters, and my hand hit it, and it zapped me again. And I tell you why, I thought I was going to die.
Oh, man. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's a good lesson, you know? That's a real good lesson. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Well, Daniel, it's been a pleasure talking to you, bud, but I'm going to move on to the next one. But that was good. I'll tell you my capacitor story next time we check in. But I'm going to move on to Mr. Andy, if that's okay with you. And appreciate you checking in with us, Daniel, and appreciate the conversation. So, at any rate, anything else, Mr. Daniel?
ahead and move on. I know I've already taken up a lot of your time, so, but thank you for letting me talk. And I will be on the side, and 73s to all.
Getting late, but any more stations? Alpha through Zulu. This is KO4NUE. Okay, Mr. Andy, KI4LZI. You still in there, sir?
4LZI. You know, I was telling you a few weeks ago about these hunters up here. All day today, up here going up toward Sassafras. They've been active on the marine frequencies up here all day, they have been. And the other question is, that I got for you. You know, I told you about that RadioBoulevard.com website. Did you ever get around to checking out ancient gear?
Andy, I have not had a chance, but I keep some index cards here in the ham shack instead of a notebook. Now, I have a notebook, a spiral bound, but I keep index cards here. And I got them laid out in a certain area on the desk. And there's three piles. One pile is, well, this is, you know, when I get time, I want to go look at this. And then this pile is, okay, well, I need to do my programming or, you know, work on my logbook or whatever. And then another pile is, you know, hey, you need to kind of do this now. And that pile has got nothing to do with radios, but that's the honeydew list, you know. So I, for some reason though, Andy, the index cards on the honeydew list keep getting thicker and thicker, and I can't ever seem to get through them to get to the other two piles that, you know, revolves around the radio. You know what I mean? So, no, I have not, but I got it right here in front of me, and I will check it out and probably do that while I'm waiting at the airport, waiting to get on the plane. But KO4NUE KI4LZI. Go ahead, Andy.
KO4LZI, we was talking about World War II history. On that website there, that RadioBoulevard.com website, on a lot of the old surplus, Army, Navy, Air Force, all the old Marine surplus gear, you'll find a lot of that World War II stuff on that website. It was used during the 40s as well. Radio gear, too, not just amateur only, a broadcast, but a lot of that, too, also. So that might tie in some with you about how World War II is, because you'll see some of the radio gear that they used at the time. And if you're still here later, I'll come back, but I've got to go now and take some answers. KO4NUE KI4LZI.
Out, Andy. I like to look at those old things and, you know, kind of wonder how they work. Actually, there's a vendor down at Market on the Mill in Pickens. He's an Army surplus guy, and he's got a set of radios down there that he claims was used in Normandy. Now, there's no way of knowing, you know, that they were indeed that, but they are period correct for World War II. And got my eyes on them. I'm not sure I could get them back operational, but you know, may check it out. Still thinking about it, I guess. But Andy, I know you need to go, but I just want to check with you before you go. Anything else you want to add before I move on?
Those radio gear that's on that website gives you all the little details about them, literally biographies on that radio equipment that was used during that time period. That you see out there, I don't know, but that's on that website, though. They give you every little detail about it on there when it was used during that time period. I gotta go. KI4LZI.
Andy, appreciate you checking into the net, and always a pleasure to hear you. And we'll talk at you later. So with that said, that's the last person I got on rag to you tonight that I know of. I'll take a break here for a second, see if I have missed anybody or if anybody would like to come in and make a comment. Hey, I'm here. It's now. Let's go. KO4NUE for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.